Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
77.
77.
The poor man's 86.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how's it going?
It's going well.
I just flew in, and boy, is my ass tight. Arms. No. When you fly Alaska, it's your ass. It's those seats are not... Okay, I know skinny people who are like, yeah, they're pretty fucking small. So I squeeze my big butt in there, and by the time I'm out of that airplane, I don't have feeling in my toes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the diabetes.
You should get the compression socks.
For flying?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I actually have feeling in my toes. It's just, it's uncomfortable.
Oh, no, I know, but you should still get them. They make you feel sexy while you fly.
I do like to feel sexy while I fly, because there's nothing better than a boner at 30,000 feet.
Exactly.
Yeah. When you can't fit into the bathroom. It's a great, great feeling. The best.
Yeah.
So I guess we should get into the weeks right away. I'll do mine first, because I think you having wrapped on something is more interesting. So I flew down to Idaho to see my kids. Kind of a mid-holiday season-y kind of thing. Nothing really eventful. We did see Big Hero 6 while I was down there.
Oh, what'd you think?
It was all right. It was pretty good. It was good. It was definitely good. It was all right. It was pretty good. It was definitely good. It's that Disney, not quite Pixar type of thing.
Okay. Yep.
I really enjoy it. You're just gonna go ahead and eat that on the air and make the noise for everyone.
No.
Oh, well, you should.
I'm just mixing.
Just mixing. All right. Yeah. So basic. So the it's my understanding. I've never read the comic book, and my understanding it's a bit more obscure in terms of Marvel comics in general. But
what? It's a comic book and be Marvel?
Yeah. It fits into the Marvel universe kind of somehow, I guess.
Huh.
A lot of weird little cameos and stuff in it though, which is pretty cool. Overall. I mean, yeah, it's a good standalone. I have no idea how it stacks up against the comic book. A lot of fun. Unfortunately, so one of the characters looks like a friend of Aaron's, and I mean it looks like she had her identity stolen, like much. So the character's name is Honey Lemon, and Aaron went online to look for a picture to send her, and apparently Big Hero 6 just porn everywhere. Everywhere. Tons of it.
Huh.
Because there's, like a couple of characters. I don't know. Whatever, man. Fucking nerds. or I guess not fucking nerds is the issue, isn't it?
Right.
So, hey, man, I was a not fucking nerd for a long time. I didn't draw pictures. In fairness, this one's not underage.
Like, okay.
She's in college, so that's a thing, I guess. But, it was pretty terrifying, apparently. The movie overall, funny. The robot, so Big Hero 6 isn't the robot.
Okay.
That's the team that they make.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Baymax is the robot. Not Betamax. Baymax.
Yeah. Okay.
He's the robot. And he's funny. Like, I enjoyed watching that. That was a lot of fun. I would say definitely worth a see in the theater, for sure.
Is Baymax better than VS?
Oh, yeah. There's another robot on disc is going to come out soon and dethrone it. Eventually, he'll just be digital download anyway, so who cares?
Right, exactly. Right.
The cameo happens. It's a Marvel movie, so the cameo happens.
Oh, nice.
The cameo.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a loser character who's not actually a loser. It's a long story. But he's played by
Patton Oswalt.
No, that'd be interesting. I don't think Patton Oswalt's done a Pixar movie since Ratatouille.
Oh, okay.
But he was the rat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, yeah. No, this guy is the if you've seen Silicon Valley, he's the like the out of shape guy who runs the development tank that they're all part of. So he's not the main character. He's kind of the partner of the main character.
Okay.
But he's a great actor. I love the guy. So it was cool, you know, hearing his voice. Yeah, overall, I'd say give it a watch. Stay until after the credits. Definitely. It's a Marvel movie. Durr. But do. Everyone else left. Because they're like, oh, it's a kid movie. And they all just took off. Because, you know, they're like, oh, well, those little fuckers shut up for 90 minutes. I'm good.
Yeah.
So... additionally, on Saturday morning, I was sitting with my kids just kind of chatting, and we ended up, like, somehow a spark hit, and I wrote a parody song that is, Chris Dupenthaler's already recorded it, so it's going to be on the Dead FM podcast. I'm not going to give any hints or spoilers or anything, but keep listening to Dead FM. It doesn't sound like it's going to be on this week's. It sounds like it's going to be on the Christmas episode.
Yes.
So keep your ears out. I think that's actually next week.
I believe if what I've read on the interwebs thus far today, that is true.
Yes. So not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. I mean, listen to this Wednesday's too, obviously.
Yeah.
But next Wednesdays will have a parody song written by me, performed by Chris Dupenthaler, that's going to be kind of awesome. Wrote another script I can't talk about at all, and I'll talk to you about it after the podcast. But it's kind of fun.
By you after the podcast, he was meaning me.
Yeah, by you Scott.
Yes,
you everyone else go to hell.
Right,
you Scott. Hey,
hey.
We
gonna talk.
We gonna talk. Hey, buddy, so much talking here. Yeah. So another tip: don't fly out on the windiest day in Pacific Northwest recent history. Bad idea.
Yes.
That was terrifying. And it was windy at altitude. That normally doesn't happen.
Nope.
Where you are, it was turbulent from the time we got on the plane. Before we moved, the plane was like, that's a technical term.
Yes.
So before we moved, plane was all over the place. Got in the air, it didn't help. So that was a lot of fun. And yeah.
See, I actually like that part of flying.
The turbulence? Find it fun?
Otherwise, I'm just sitting in air doing nothing. I'd rather know that I'm...
Yeah.
You know.
It's boring anyway, regardless. It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was literally my week. Not much else.
Well, a little bit else. A
little bit. Wait, what else did I do?
That you and I did.
Oh, right. I forgot that was after. Directly after the podcast last week. And I think we can talk about this, right?
We can loosely fill everybody in on what we were doing and why.
It was Twitch streaming, so I mean, it was public already.
Yeah. So I mean, Let 'Em Dare is.
Yeah, Let 'Em Dare. Public. So we were doing voice acting for a Let 'Em Dare project. There you go. Which was a lot of fun. We went and it went a little late.
Yes, it was a long.
But it was pretty cool. We went and did. Did crazy voices. What did you do? You did.
I did the Texan.
You did.
Golly! Why do we come down here? And then I did what ended up being Batman, but was supposed to be like a grizzled, hardened, steel chewing veteran.
It's the kind of guy who'd be named Frank, and he was named Frank, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did this guy for a while, but then I stopped.
Yeah.
And basically did my voice for one of them.
Yeah, yeah. What did I do? I did...
You did the goth.
Oh, God. The goth. Yes, I did the goth. That was a lot of fun. And then I did... I did the Canadian, eh?
I
did that Canadian guy. Oh, so good, right? And then there was the...
Austrian.
The Austrian, yeah. Oh, I loved doing the Austrian. He was very... He was difficult to get a handle on, yeah.
Mm.
And then, additionally, I did... What was the other one? Oh, it was the nerd. The high, the, like, hey, hi, how's it going? Kind of right. thing. Yeah, so that was fun.
Yeah.
It was a crazy night. I don't know how any of us kept our voices. Because
I don't either.
It was long. You were also, your face was full of cat.
It was.
It was twice its normal size, just full of cat anger.
So is my beard.
Yeah. Or I bet that's the entire next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you and I can tease the other thing we did this week.
Okay.
That we're going to do again this next week.
Right.
Is Two Bards may, in fact, have a production
whoop.
That we will be working on of feature-length variety.
Whoop, whoop.
And that's all we're going to say right now.
Because
we're having a final discussion about that on this Tuesday.
Yeah, Scott's looking for a final solution. Wait. Yep. No.
Wallflowers? No. No. What's the one I'm thinking of? It was...
Well, I was making a joke about Hitler.
Right, and I'm okay. There's a band who had the name, the one thing.
Right, right, right. I don't remember.
Which was like Final Solution, Daffodil Suicide or something.
Oh.
And then they changed their name.
Okay.
80s, late 70s, early 80s.
Mm.
I can't remember. They had a couple good hits.
Strawberry Alarm Clock?
No.
Oh.
No, that was just
supposed... Incense and peppermints. I don't know. I like that song.
Oh, that's what they're saying. Okay.
Yeah, incense and peppermints, something through time.
Some barley wine. I don't know.
Some barley wine. Oh, but then you got Sting and Fields of Barley. That was a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We're off the rails at this point.
A little bit.
Let's get back on the rails.
Okay.
How was your week?
My week was okay. We finished Evan and Bobby. And I'm glad that is done now. That was a dark place to live for a while. And today's been a little hard, but I'm excited to get that shaken off. Thank you to everyone who came out to see it that I know, such as the Tom Brophy, the Andy and Aaron, the Brian and Tiffany, the Rival.
Oh, the Rival did.
And Miranda. Mm. I'm sure that I have probably left out some other people, but they probably don't listen to this podcast. So those folks came, really appreciated it. I shot a short this morning, the short that I was supposed to shoot like 2 months ago. We shot one day on today at a green screen at Cinesaurus up in Linwood.
Okay, cool.
Which was fun. And finally, the way that you should shoot any summer time dream sequence when you're trying to shoot it in November and December, because you're not going to have a nice day. So that was fun to get that done. I did get to work. I'm very tickled. I can't talk a lot about it, but also last Tuesday, I got to do a little commercial for a little software company.
Nice.
Of the game that I love to play.
Very cool.
The Torchlights.
Ha ha.
And there's an announcement that they're coming out with.
Cool.
And I got to be one of four people for the little promo spot.
That's awesome. I just bought my brother Torchlight 2. He finally got a gaming computer and he loved Fate and he got Torchlight 2 and he was like, this is like 5 times better than Fate. He went fucking nuts for it.
Yeah, and I haven't even gotten to 2 yet.
2's great.
I can't wait to have...
They're both great.
I can't wait to have Falcor as my companion. But he got to be in the commercial with me.
Nice. Eh. I can't bring myself to not do the ferret. I always do the ferret. I just can't bring myself not to.
Yeah. And we got to set up Steam maybe before you leave.
Okay, yeah, we can do that.
Because
it's super easy.
I've forgotten how to do all that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to use the Google machine to do it myself. So I would rather you just fish for me than teach me how to fish.
Yeah, that's, well.
And that's all I'm going to say about the Google machine.
Google machine.
But please, Jesus, for fuck's sake, if you have a question, Google it.
First.
Or Bing it.
First.
Anything it. Just see.
Don't dogpile it.
No.
Not anymore.
No.
And I wouldn't ask Jeeves anything either, because he's probably going to put a bunch of shit on your computer. What? So, you're new, fingering at me.
New Dead F. Yeah, we've got a new Dead FM skit.
Ask Jeeves?
The new Ask Jeeves. I think there's some potential short stuff in there.
Jeeves, what's the best restaurant in my town? Would you like to install Wild Tangent Toolbar? No, I just want to know what the best... You look like the kind of guy who would like to install Wild Tangent Toolbar. I'm just saying, the ladies love guys who install Wild Tangent.
Oh, you don't want Wild Tangent? How about the Ask Toolbar? When you can just type me right into the tool... Please, can we just put something into your... Fuck you.
Anything.
Fuck you and your toolbars. There's not one goddamn toolbar that's worth anything,
Wearing a tie, though. Hmm?
True, and that platter in your hand is quite inviting, even though it's empty.
Oh, there's an analogy there, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're drawing from that. That does remind me, because I realized we recorded the skit for Dead FM last week after the podcast, so people who listen to this podcast might not know that Two Bards had a skit on last week's Dead FM.
Yes.
I personally find to be extremely funny.
Yes.
I have now had a few people who are big into D&D listen to it, and they were dying. So it definitely hits the right notes for some people.
Yes. I think it's funny even if you're not a big D&D person, but just know what the Home Shopping Network is.
That is true.
It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, and also Phil Price is on last week's, and a couple of songs. It's a great podcast. So go listen to Dead FM. I will keep pitching that. Until you do. So do
indeed.
It. Yep.
And they're short. They're shorter than ours. Well, by a long shot, they're shorter than ours.
Yep. Don's is shorter than ours.
I know.
I got the email.
We're smaller around than the other bells, but...
Maybe.
I
don't know. I think Don has the potential to get more action, ultimately, though.
Possibly.
It's Dead FM, dude. It's a good fucking name.
I know.
Like, on the name alone, I would listen to that podcast.
Yeah.
So, without knowing who the Dead Gentlemen are, I'd be like, yes, Dead FM, yeah, that Dead sounds FM. Great. Let's do that. Let's make that in our ears happen.
Make that in our ears right now. Get your tweezers out. Put in the paper and the glue. Yeah, Dead FM in my ear. Is that like shipping a bottle?
Shipping a bottle, yeah. Oh, dude, shipping an ear. That would be... We should do that.
Yeah.
Sailing the waxy seas.
Arr, matey. That be a parrot on your shoulder, or are you just happy to see me?
Yarr, can't it be both?
Sure.
Yarr.
That's what we needed on the... God damn it.
We can do it, Pirate Home Shopping Network.
No, I mean that's brilliant too on the game.
Yeah,
we
totally.
Needed a pirate. We needed a pirate. That would have been. So, Shorty, what you doing here, you tin can?
You know, me hand's made of metal, but I got an inkling.
That's a lot more than your hand's made of metal.
Indeed.
So should we just jump into?
Let's jump into the questions.
Just tear into the questions.
Yeah, tear into them.
This may be a short one, folks, but we've got a lot of questions, so we're erring on the side of caution so that we don't totally put you to sleep for 2 hours. Dennis Nickel writes in, "Hey Scott, are you the 12th man?
Well, are you?
I am one of many. It is like an army of one. The 12th men. I am a 12th." But there are many other 12s.
Can a woman be a 12th man?
Yes. It is a ubiquitous...
Can a dog be a 12th man?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
You are...
They make puppy jersey number 12s. It is a gender-neutral term, 12th man.
Species-neutral.
And apparently species-neutral. Now, cats...
Not 12.
Not so much because they won't wear the jersey. If you can wear a 12 jersey and don't root for the Cowboys, Tom Brophy, you piece of shit. I hope they're winning tonight, but no, I don't. Then you can be a 12th man.
Well, I don't know much about manning up with the 12 on and whatnot, but I will say this. The math is flawed. If your 12th man can be as many people as you want it to be. That seems a little stacked, in my opinion.
The reason that it seems stacked is because there are 11 men at this point.
Allowed on the field at any point in time.
In professional football. There right. are women in collegiate football.
No.
Usually kickers, not a lot of front linemen.
Now, what if there is a 12th man on the field, what's that penalty?
That's a penalty.
Yeah, is there a name for it?
Too many men on the field.
Okay, so you're basically saying, hey, we're a penalty.
No. You're saying, hey, our noise that we make as a collective unit cheering on our team, twice proving for the Guinness Book of World Records that we have the loudest stadium, that is like having a 12th man on the field.
So what we're taking away from this is Scott's noisy unit is cheating.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. And I'm admitting that I have a noisy unit.
Yart made him.
Yar, yar it be clang, clanging.
Tis me peg wang. You want to get naughty?
Beware the splitters, lass. Rob McLennan writes. Stopping now. What novel, graphic novel, or comic property would you like to see get made into or get a movie deal? Which one would you most like to be a part of? And I know exactly. I've been waiting.
You go first then.
The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant.
All right, yeah.
I think that they are what everyone wants mm-hmm. these days, except Christian Doyle, an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
And the additional special effects required to make that fantasy series come to life in a meaningful way would be easily achievable.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, no CGI characters. You'd have the giants, but then you'd just have to do the whole Gandalf force perspective thing that they did in Fellowship of the Rings. You could pull that off to some effect.
Okay.
Or have that digitally enhanced, have an actual actor doing it, but just, you know, do the whole whatever they do to make that magic happen.
Right.
And I mean, there's three standalone books, mm-hmm. and then there's three books that are one. And then he's got another trilogy. I started reading the first one, but you know, there's your longevity for the Hunger Game-y,
right,
Twilight-y. Right. I need to a thing that has a sustainable property.
Yeah,
that's going to be more than one movie if I'm going to invest that kind of money in a sci-fi type thing. And I think it's ready. I think it needs to be done.
So, for me, if it's a book, I would pick Good Omens. However, I kind of feel Supernatural kind of already did that. Like, they actually... their lead demon is Crowley. I mean, that's... Yes, there's Mr. Crowley, there's, like, all that stuff, but the lead demon being Crowley feels to me like they have maybe touched on Good Omens a little bit. Additionally, their horsemen kind of remind me of some stuff, and... So I definitely think Ben Edlund and Eric Kripke have at least read the book. But a movie, an actual movie version of it, I think would be great. I don't know if I'd want to be involved in it. That would be one that I'd want to consume more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not set up really to be a series of any type. The Badger would be an interesting comic to turn into a movie.
Hmm.
It'd be very interesting to do now, these days, on account of like how crazy PETA is and mm-hmm. how even the most sensible vegan that I know in my life thinks PETA is completely fucking insane. And also one of the most, you know, animal-killingest organizations in mm-hmm. the world, so... Badger would be a really cool thing to kind of sort of do commentary on that. And just in general, it's an interesting comic from the 80s anyway.
Bone would be a good one.
Bone would be good. Bone would have to be CGI the whole way. Or 2D animation, but
yeah,
that's kind of a lost thing these days. Jeez, what
bring
else?
It back.
Yeah. There are plenty of, like, I would love to see some of the Elseworlds, like Red Sun. I would fucking drop dollars on Red Sun in a heartbeat.
I don't know what any of that is.
Red Sun is what would happen if the thing containing Superman landed in communist Russia.
Mm.
So it lands in communist Russia, and it's fucking awesome.
Oh, cool.
There's also an what if Thomas and Martha Wayne had found Kal-El as a baby?
Hmm.
So now you've got Batman who can shoot lasers out of his eyes and fly. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
One more what if that I would fucking just pay anything to see on the screen in some way would probably be the one where Bruce Wayne gets the Green Lantern ring.
Hmm.
Pretty cool. You know, it's an unbounded energy source that is driven by animation and ingenuity and willpower. Yeah, Bruce Wayne's not the kind of guy you'd want to give that to. So, but if we're going obscure comics or more obscure, dude, there's so many. I'd love to see a really, really good, serious Swamp Thing made. Mm-hmm. That would be great. I'd say Books of Magic, but they kind of already did, and they called it Harry Potter. So, but seriously, I mean, Books of Magic is awesome because it's kind of a tour of, at the time, Vertigo. Mm-hmm. It was like just a tour of like Vertigo comics in general. It's like, hey, you know, here's all this crazy stuff that is in this universe, and it had Constantine in it and Death, and I believe that's the one where you get to find out that Constantine and the Joker are the two entities left at the end of the universe. Yeah, kind of cool stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff I'd be interested in doing. I have to say the last comic book movie that you did turned out pretty damn good. So that wasn't too bad. Dark Dungeons
is a comic book film. Yeah, I still don't consider myself having been in that film.
You were in the dude. You get the first solid laugh in that movie.
Really?
Homosexual.
I haven't seen it.
Really?
I thought it came at the end.
No, you're right up at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
You get the first solid laugh. No joke. That's not me pandering to you or anything. First solid laugh, Scott C. Brown.
Awesome.
But it's not a parody.
Nope.
What did you do?
I spoke truths, I guess.
You did spake them.
A smaller Donald, Stephen R. Donaldson series would be Daughter of Regals,
mm-hmm.
Which is a wonderful, you could probably put both books in one, but I'd keep them separate. Mm-hmm. Another one that I'd like to see more of is Clive Cussler.
Yeah.
They did do Sahara with Matthew McConaughey. And yeah.
And it wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't. It was
Steve
really...
Zahn
was in it. And those two... While not necessarily who I pictured mm-hmm. when I read the books,
mm-hmm.
still had a good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And Cussler's stuff is pretty amazing cinematically. I mean, it's simple. It's easy to digest. You don't have to cut a lot out. The books move. I mean, they're the fastest reading books that I've found, for me, that I
mm-hmm.
enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think that would be cool. I would love to be Thomas Covenant. that would be bitchin'. That's never going to happen. But, I'm age appropriate. Salt Heart Foam Follower would be the giant I would wish to play. Because, love me some Salt Heart.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. And I don't really do the comics or anything other than Bone, like I said.
Yeah,
and Star Wars comics. If only someone would make movies out of the Star
right?
Wars comics.
Never going to happen.
But, I mean, how do you get a big, shaggy, 7 foot tall?
No idea.
Not going to work.
I notice you have Anansi Boys on your bookshelf. That's another one I would love to see, frankly. Actually, I think I'd rather see American Gods first, but Anansi Boys. Mm-hmm. Anansi Boys, to me, was a better story than American Gods, but American Gods is more rich with opportunity.
Not read either. Have them both.
Stabbing you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Paula Moran writes, would yes, you she guys... Does. She does. Well, I don't know if she writes. She types, for sure.
All right.
But she writes in, would you guys consider hosting a voice / acting class at Gen Con, and what kind of exercises would you run?
Sure.
Yes, I would totally consider.
I need to take that.
And highly suggest that that happen. I don't know how to make that happen.
Well, we could talk to Derek and get into contact with the people to suggest the panel.
Yep.
Or the class. I would say that there are probably a good chunk of people out there who are better qualified to teach it, to be honest. But if they're not doing it, hell, we'll step in. There are a number of, especially in Vancouver, amazing voice actors for animation and for voiceover work who do this and actually make Dala Dala like livable wage.
Oh, yeah.
Just doing
Funimation.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to work for Funimation so bad.
So...
the voice acting class there, I mean, we could talk about that, but I would be happy to run an acting class. And I don't know that the thing is with those, they're hard to be classes at any con. They'd have to be a panel.
Right.
It's not like you can do a class on how do you make chain link.
Right.
Let's all make a bag of chain link or some chain link earrings. Or
I think even chain mail. That would be really weird to have chain link earrings.
There are people who would appreciate that, but yes, I meant chain mail.
Link
anyway,
would be...
as Paula has done and given us masks, you know, those types of classes, you can teach a little something, go home, and then make something bigger out of it.
Right, right.
Whereas the acting, you can talk about philosophies or styles or schools of thought.
Right.
You can talk about the process, the fact that Slim Pickens, when he did Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Love the Bomb, gave the single most useful ever piece of acting advice I have ever heard anyone give.
Just the sit when you can?
Sit when you can.
Yeah.
Because I get Bryan Cranston's words of encouragement. I understand Robin Williams when he says, don't have a second job because you'll just fall back to it. You know, if you want to be an actor or you want to be a comedian, you go for that. You don't sit back and wait for that to happen. It can, but more often than not, if you strive for that, if you don't have a fallback plan, you are hungrier to make something happen. I'm in a cardboard box. I need to change my situation and do something.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But focusing in, I mean, because Paula's talking about voice acting specifically.
Is she? Because it says voice / acting.
I didn't hear the slash. So, sorry.
I said trash.
voice trash acting. Oh, boy.
Because I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about me teaching a trash acting class.
Yeah.
Slash. Jeez. Yes.
No, that's fine. It's just for voice, I actually do have a little bit of, you know, I feel like I have some agency in voice acting that I can apply. And, you know, what do you teach? Diction is important.
Yes.
Diction and learning that mouth shape is more important than voice for conveying so much. Look at mouth shape and meter. Mm-hmm. Look at, what is his name? Portlandia, help me out here.
Frank Armisen. Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen's Obama is absolutely terrible technically, except for his meter. And the meter is all he needs to convey that he is Obama.
Right.
So when it comes to voice acting, drink water. I don't do warm-up exercises yet, but I do think that those are totally valuable. I don't think that some of the entry-level voice acting class voice exercises are valuable at all.
No.
I think they just make you sound like an idiot. But, you know, diction is important. Breathing is important. Knowing how to not get frustrated, because you will lose a voice and it will take you minutes to get it back.
Yeah.
Or you'll lose, you know, you'll lose pronunciation, you'll lose something, and it'll take a long time to get back, and you can't do it the same way as like physical acting where you can just like, you know, and lion face, lemon face the shit out.
Yeah.
You have to get it back through a different process. I will say that movement while you act vocally, super important.
Yes.
Super, super important.
You should see Andy right now.
Yeah. I'm Italian momming all over the place. Yeah. Hey!
And then little things that you could do now that really don't, I mean, they do help the voice acting, but it's more of a mental thing, is the she sells seashells by the seashore.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
Seashore, yes. Or the rubber baby.
The seashore.
Rubber baby.
Seashells by the seashore.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers, yes.
Yes.
Toy boat.
Yes. Those types of things. If you do those enough, mm-hmm. all of a sudden your diction just works.
Yep.
Because you've engaged the cognitive part of your brain. And, you know, so, and that's why those work. The long ass, stupid, short, sharp shock on a cheap and chippy chopper and a dink dink. I think that's just vocal warm ups. I do like, I am not a fig plucker nor a fig plucker son, but I'll pluck your figs till the fig plucker comes.
See, I've heard I'm not a pheasant plucker, but a pheasant plucker's wife.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are just fun because when you fuck up, it's you're a pig fucker.
Yeah, or a pleasant fucker.
Yeah.
Brian Lewis does one. Top of the teeth, the tip of the tongue. I don't know what it is, but the tip of the tongue. Another thing that I would suggest doing, and this sounds,
we've just given away our whole voice acting
shut
class.
Up.
Free.
It would be free at Gen Con too. Another thing I would do if you are thinking about doing any of this stuff, grab one of the voice jammer apps, like on iPhone or Android or whatever. What they do is they play your voice back to you in real time, and they really trip the fuck out of people. Do it over and over again, because eventually they quit working, because your brain gets used to hearing your own voice while you talk. You will go into your first voice acting gig and blow people away, because what trips people up when they go into their first voice acting gig is they can hear themselves in their cans, and it fucks up the way you talk. So get that, and it also helps you learn your own diction and how your voice sounds. Also, don't worry about how your voice sounds. It doesn't sound how you like, and that's going to be okay.
Nobody's voice sounds
because if someone asks you to do voice acting, they like the voice they hear, not the voice that's in your head. So don't let that even begin to get in the way. I hate my voice. Hate it. Think it's garbage.
I think it's sweet, sweet, dulcet tones.
Sweet, sweet, dulcet tones. Baby, if you ever wondered.
Justin Everett writes, to get us out of that creepy segue, what's your preferred way to occupy yourself on those sleepless nights? And he suggests things like reading, Netflix marathon, or crocheting.
Those are weird names for masturbation, but all right.
I know.
Dude, I like sleep a lot, to the point where I don't really have sleepless nights as frequent. When I was younger, I only had sleepy days. I couldn't sleep. Unfortunately, a 9-to-5 beats that right the fuck out of you. You don't have the best nights, but you know. I don't spend a lot of time occupying myself. I try to go to sleep, toss and turn. Maybe it would be a better idea to do that, to disengage and to occupy. Without going too blue,
I Ambien.
I wake Aaron up. that's my sleepless night.
I take Ambien now, so I don't have a lot of sleepless nights, although I don't do what I'm supposed to, which is turn off all electronic devices and go sleep. But they say, because I've had problems with this, if after 20 minutes you're not asleep, get up, get out of bed, go do something for 15 minutes, half an hour.
And disassociate the bed.
And disassociate the bed, and then come back and go back to bed. I'll watch it until, and I will lay back, I will get myself comfortable, And if I had a TV in the room, I would watch that, or now I use my Surface. And that will, 9 times out of 10, put me out.
I do have some of the same tricks as Tony Stark suggested for Bruce Banner. What's your
opiates?
Secret? Pilates. Huge bag of weed. So, you know, no. I try very hard not to do TV when I can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Two reasons. One, I don't watch anything that I don't want to pay attention to. Like, that is a rule of mine for watching TV. There's too much of it out there. I don't watch anything I don't want to pay attention to. And if I want to pay attention to it, I don't want to fall asleep to it. Except for Bob Ross. I do admit, when I was younger, man, I would watch Bob Ross religiously to fall asleep. I know fucking my cadmium yellow from my burnt sienna, and dude knocked me the fuck out. I don't know what it was. It's the tone of his voice. The fact that, you know, he probably killed a bunch of Asian people. Something about it just puts you right out.
Yep.
But yeah, I used to...
I do documentaries for the falling asleep.
Yeah, that helps.
Because then I can come back and catch it.
Right.
Whereas if it's a story, I will be invested in it and I will watch it.
That's the other thing, though, is like, for me, I engage in a different way with a lot of that stuff, to where it becomes much harder to fall asleep because now I'm engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I used to try and like get up and code stuff. Like I would code. But that's worthless. Because when you try to code to like occupy your mind, 7 o'clock rolls around and you're still awake.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually more awake. You're like fired up.
Yep.
But yeah. I don't know. Gonna go with whacking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whack-a-mole. Dennis Nickel writes in, there are only 360-ish shopping days until Christmas 2015. Whatever are the two bards going to do? Wait 350 more days.
Mm-hmm. I have Amazon, dude. This doesn't make any sense to me anymore.
2 days?
Yeah.
I'd have to start shopping until the 23rd, unless things go out of stock.
Yeah, I have to say that that has totally ruined me for Christmas shopping. I went to Best Buy yesterday in Idaho because I wanted to pick up something nice for Aaron's parents. I obviously can't order it and have it arrive while I'm there to help set it up. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to Best Buy. Holy shit. I have not set foot inside of a Best Buy prior to that in at least 6 months, and I hadn't set foot inside of a Best Buy around Christmas for about 4 years at this point. Yeah. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, never again. Never again.
Nope.
This is Best Buy, too. This isn't your Walmart.
Oh, my God.
Where the people are stacked so thick you can walk across them. Where, fuck. Like, yeah. Walmart is the fucking Mao Zedong's wheat of people. If you don't know that reference, Mao Zedong...
look it up. Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
What did we tell you earlier? Google machine.
During a great famine, people wanted to impress him, so they got their wheat, and they packed it so thick next to the train tracks that you could almost walk on it. And they were starving to death, because that's all there was. It was like... what do they call that? When they groom the side of highways, but behind it, it's all just garbage.
Oh. I
always want to say facade. It is a facade, but it is another word for
it.
Yeah.
I want to say it's something scaping.
Yeah,
it's like landscaping, but it's...
Yeah.
Or beautification or some...
Fakescaping.
Some stupid made-up name.
Yeah, anyway. I don't know if
Google
we answered
that.
Your question, but Google it.
Yeah, and then Rob McLennan has the honor of being the most recent question.
Yay, Rob!
With, if you have a favorite genre, what is it? And, as a follow-up, do you have different favorites based on the media used to present them? So I'm assuming he's meaning...
Yes? Movies, I'm assuming. Movies or television or that entertainment.
Well, I'm going to say that any genre-based. So plays, movies...
Mm-hmm.
And I would say movies/TV. Well, no, movies, TV, because one's a short form, one's a long form, and books.
No music?
We don't really do music, so I'm going to go with those four things. But if you want to throw in music, we'll go. A fifth bonus category,
mm-hmm.
just for you people.
I don't know
who you people are, but
a lot of my favorites, like comedy is hands down my favorite genre, period. It's my favorite genre to be in. It's my favorite genre to consume. It's my favorite genre to read, which is also consuming if you get right down to it. I love cerebral comedy a lot. Dark comedy is really good as well. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is a great play. It is a great movie. It's an okay book. Like, if you read it as a... But Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is kind of like, that's my alley. And other things go up it, but that's sort of... That'll put you in the mindset of where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that pretty much is everything. I like comedic books. I like comedic plays, movies, television. Television, I like comedic drama. Again, I really like cerebral, but it's got to be funny and so you look at. Let's even look at pop TV. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a comedy with fighting and some drama.
Mm-hmm.
Supernatural, comedy, like straight up, that's just a comedy.
Constantine, comedy.
I haven't seen it yet, but the comic book is. My favorite fucking scene in any comic book. I know a lot of people go for the fight between Batman and Superman. In Dark Knight Returns, I know a lot of people. There's another Batman Superman fight, but I know people go for the Kingdom Come like clincher with Superman and Captain Marvel. For me, hands down, my favorite scene in any comic is when Constantine kicks the fucking candle over, ending the binding spell that turned holy water into beer that Lucifer just drank. It's my favorite thing. Makes me so happy.
Okay.
So, yeah. And it's funny. I laugh my ass off, you know?
Yeah. I will say that I think I prefer dramatic works for theater
mm-hmm.
more. I like comedies,
mm-hmm.
but I think I like to get invested in more dramatic, darker, weighty
mm-hmm.
plays, and I like to be in those. I do like doing comedy, but let's face it, comedy's easy. No, it's not. But I like being invested in that. From book standpoint, usually nonfiction, although I do like some fiction. Nonfiction, not false, true, right. So I like some nonfiction, and I like a lot of fiction. Science fantasy, predominantly leaning more towards the space side of things. Oh, that would be another amazing movie to flash back to would be the Knowledge of... shit, it's another Stephen R. Donaldson, but it has... It's the space one.
I was hoping you were going to go with Howardowski's Dune. That would be a fucking amazing movie. Anyway.
It would be if someone made it right.
Well, he would have.
I know. The
Donaldson.
Gap Into
series. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Where Angus Thermopyle, or Thermopylae, depending upon how you want to pronounce it, is a total human stain. And... because of what someone does to him, becomes the hero of everything.
Hmm.
It would be amazing. So, yeah, I like that stuff. I like the Clive Cussler, which is somewhat historically based with, okay, the fact that Amelia Earhart lost a plane and the Hunley submarine was lost. Okay, I'm going to put them both in the desert, in the Sahara Desert, and we're going to do this other thing. And so some of it's, you know, historically generated stories, Titanic and Vikings mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Comic books, don't do. Music.
We gotta alternative and metal. We got to fix that first one, man.
Which first one?
Comic books, don't do.
Yeah,
yeah, we got it. No, we got it.
I still got Kingdom Come. I will read it as soon as I get done. He has the sword in his hand. I can't believe I'm going to say this. As soon as I finish Ready Player One.
No, that's fine. Ernest Cline's a good read, though. And to me, that's actually a good merging of comedy and fantasy. especially Future Fantasy, Ready Player One.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I just need to.
I will admit, I do like a lot of pure fantasy books, but I find myself liking the stories more than the writing, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of fantasy writers, no offense to fantasy writers out there, little offense to fantasy writers, are really proud of how they sound.
Yeah.
They're really proud. Alfred Bester made a great story, and it's a pain in the ass to read. But then you've got people, you know, I mean, fucking like, this isn't fantasy. It's kind of fantasy, but this is more political, socio-political, whatever. Ishmael, the book Ishmael by, oh, what's his name? Don Quinn? I think Don Quinn, something like that.
Mighty Quinn?
David Quinn? I don't remember. It's the movie. Quindolin. Or it's the book that they based the movie Instinct off of.
Basic Instinct?
No. Instinct with Sir, you son of a bitch. Oh my god. Now I've lost my train of thought.
I know, Sharon Stone.
God damn it. Anyway.
Instinct, Ishmael.
Ishmael. So the book Ishmael, not Moby Dick, call me Ishmael. Ishmael is about a talking gorilla who this guy goes and learns a bunch of stuff from, blah, 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 right? Great story. Really fucking love the story.
Is it an albino gorilla? Because that'd be funny. The white whale and the albino gorilla. No. But it's a great story.
I was seriously involved with a person named Amy at one point. So we don't discuss albino gorillas anymore. Congo. There's an albino gorilla in Congo, isn't there?
I thought they were just all silverbacks.
Maybe they are.
And Tim Curry.
And Tim Curry. Hey. He's the albino gorilla in Congo.
Yes. I'll buy that.
Anyway, Tony Hopkins is in Instinct.
Okay.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. And Hopkins, like Anthony Hopkins, spent a bunch of time in the fucking Amazon or Congo or wherever. I don't care.
Some rainforest.
Learning gorilla stuff and gorilla ninjutsu, because apparently gorillas teach you ninjutsu. Whatever. So it was a loose based inspiration, I will agree. But you know, like, I mean, Zodiac, not Zodiac, the movie about the killer, Zodiac, the eco thriller, you know, these are books that I've read, I've enjoyed, but I've never loved.
Does Zodiac take place on the water at least?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so it's the Zodiac boats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is the Zodiac.
That's literally, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's exactly what they are. So
the Instinct, how old a flick is that?
Fuck, 90s, you think?
Oh, okay. I gotta go look it up.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like Higher Learning with monkeys. That's not true.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true at all. Basically, it's about the ultimate story of Instinct / Ishmael is leavers and takers. And that's really the only thing that made it through. And it's the idea of people who leave stuff behind, art and whatever, you know. This is Baby Time Frolics version of this, Big Purple Crayon. But, you know, people who leave stuff behind and who help each other, and then so bonobos versus chimps, okay? The takers are the slash and burn, get as far as you can, as fast as you can kind of thing. And the whole story is, like, tedious to fucking read. It's terrible. It's written like a textbook, man. It's so boring. And I couldn't put it down. Dan Brown. Like, I don't know why. It's because they're so consumable.
Yeah.
A Dan Brown story, you sit down, you read it in 3 hours, and you're done.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's because he uses small words. But he uses a lot of them. So, I don't know if that's really the case. I don't remember any of the words out of any of the books I read. I just remember the story.
Yeah.
So, but I do remember burning through Da Vinci Code like nothing. Like super fast, because it wasn't well written.
Mm-hmm.
It was just interesting.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know if that answers any questions.
I don't either.
Favorite genres. But
it was sure fun.
Sure was.
I got nothing else.
Me neither.
And there are no more questions, and
no.
Since we're not
keep
broadcasting,
yeah.
We don't have other ones to check.
Nope. Dead FM.
Keep interrupting.
Yeah, let's do that. That's fun. This is great. I love this. I love what we're doing here. This is the kind of banter they pay for.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Right.
You really need to get that PayPal button up there.
Neil deGrasse Tyson,
if you're listening,
please come on our show.
And make me a PayPal button.
And make a PayPal button for Scott. Or make Scott a PayPal button, whichever we want to do. Unlock your interstellar magics. Wizard.